bring Jimmy on, I want to read you this text we got from Noah, the bus driver. He's a big fan of the station, always sends in lots of texts. He says, guys, once you have Monty on, please let him know that he has a giant fan in Ottawa. I thank him for joining you guys on the radio. A huge stick tap to a fellow person in recovery, taking honest and talking honest and bouncing back. Yeah. Have a great weekend, guys. That's from Noah.
Yeah, and let's not forget, Jimmy came over from Montreal back in the day and played for the Pembroke Lumber Kings. Some great teams there. Went on to win a national championship. Really made Paul Kariya as a player. then won a national championship with Denver, and now Dallas on to St. Louis.
The rest is history. Without further ado, to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline we go, where we welcome Jim Montgomery to the show. How are you doing this morning, Jim?
I'm doing great, guys, and really appreciate that text from Tom, my newfound friend.
There you go.
And friend forever now. And then also, can I get a copy of that, what Simmer just said about how I made Kariya? Because every time I talk to him, he keeps telling me how I'd be nothing without him.
All good. Is that when you can get him off the surfboard out in California?
Oh, yeah. I called him the other day. He was just telling me how he had just finished riding, you know, surfing for a couple of hours. I said, retirement's really hard for you. He started at 38, and it just keeps going the rest of your life.
Would you ever see that guy, Paul Kariya, as, and I don't know if he has any interest, as being a guy who would have an interest in getting into hockey, be it as a coach or a scout or anything like that?
No, I think Paul does not have any interest. He loves watching from afar, and he still loves the beauty and aesthetics of the game, but he also likes it in soccer a lot. When we talk, a lot of times we end up talking about Manchester City and how their coach plays and stuff like that, that he's really attracted to ball possession in soccer and obviously puck possession in hockey.
Monty, hey, if we're going to be on that subject, we might as well do a little Maine hockey. And the late, great Sean Walsh, hey, anyone that's been to Orono, Maine, to get people to recruit there, we've been kind of crapping on Sudbury. That makes Sudbury look like Las Vegas. His ability to recruit, and you were a great talent for the Paul Kariyas and the entire Kariya family. What made it so magical to go there and ultimately win a national championship?
Well, you know what? Sean was so charismatic. The guy could sell, you know, the saying, he could sell ice to an ice fisherman, you know, it's something that he did naturally. I remember the day I committed, you know, he showed me a video of the fans going wild in a big home game, and he goes, what number you want to wear? We got 19 and 20 available. I said, well, I'm a huge Steve Yzerman, Joe Sakic fan. He goes, I'd like 19. It's yours. And he took out his hand. He goes, welcome to Maine Black Bears. I didn't know what to do. I just shook his hand.
And the rest, as they say, is history. Well, listen, we wanted to bring you on for a couple of reasons. You've been good enough to join us throughout the playoffs with some good breakdown and stuff. But the news of this week is just terrific. So tell us how it all came together, where you have now been hired by Craig Berube as the assistant coach with the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, you know, it happened quick. I think if I go with dates, two Tuesdays ago was the first interaction I had. Doug Armstrong called me first. We met for breakfast the next day. I spoke with Craig Berube, chief, on the phone the next day. And he said, you know, those meetings went very well, talking hockey, you know, about fit, trust, all those things that really matter to the Blues, and really, as Simmer knows, any organization in hockey. And then I met with Army again quickly for a coffee. We agreed that on last Friday that I wouldn't be talking to any other teams. He wouldn't talk to other candidates. And then I met Tuesday with Mr. Stillman and Army again, and you know, they talked about their beliefs and giving people second chances, and just the way they felt welcome about all my personal problems, but also how they wanted to be a support system to add to my recovery. It was incredible to hear, you know, because it's not everybody's cup of tea. You know, not everybody I guess, I don't want to say understands it. I mean, everybody's very empathetic, but to be able to want to work with it is a whole nother level. And I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity and for my family to already be here we've moved here 2 months ago, and for this all to happen, sometimes you think fate is working with you.
And Monty, to that, first of all, incredible, and I'm so thankful, first of all, you got in that quickly, but to be in St. Louis, in your wildest dreams, when everything transpired in Dallas, you get yourself into rehab going through this, you had to be wondering, hey, quite simply, would you ever work in the National Hockey League again?
Well, you know what, you're absolutely right, Simmer. I wondered if I would ever get the opportunity to coach again, never mind the NHL. But, you know, a lot of people like you, Simmer, you know, people that reached out when I was at the lowest of my lows and hit rock bottom. You know, you really find out who your friends are. And a lot of people say, you know, if you do the right thing, things will turn around. And, you know, I got over 9 months sobriety now and feel stronger in my resolve and have more tools and people that I know I can call and connect that can just help me at any time of the day. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. And I'm a better person. I'm a better coach because I have the experience now. And also, and I'm talking about the experience of coaching. And then I also have the experience of having grown and matured out of what was a catastrophic moment in my life and overcoming that adversity. I still have to work diligently every day, but I have those tools now. And I'm just excited right now to start second chapter of my coaching career. And what a great opportunity to work with a fantastic, talented team and incredible staff.
With Jim Montgomery, as you said, you're 9 months into it. It's a journey. It's something you're going to have to, battle and deal with your entire life. If this opportunity, being an assistant, getting back in the coaching game, had occurred in any other place other than the place you just moved to, where your wife is from, where your support system is, would you have taken it?
Well, you know what? It would have taken a lot of soul searching to see if this was the right moment to get back into coaching. You know, I can't say yes or no to that question. It would depend, A, on the people that I'm working with and for.
Yeah, no, so much of the support system ends up helping you. Now, I know you're friends with the Dallas people. I know you like them. But you're also a competitive person in a strange way with the timing of them going to the final and you reemerging. I don't want to say softens the blow, but it just, hey, I'm sure there's times you think, boy, I wish that was me that was there. Does it kind of just make everything a little bit easier at this point?
No, the job doesn't, it's not the thing that makes things easier. The thing that makes things easier was it's my own actions and behaviors is the reason I'm not with the Dallas Stars. I don't have resentment towards the Dallas Stars or anyone there. I actually love and care for so many people there. And you know, when this got announced, I couldn't pick up the phone, but I see my phone ringing because I was doing an interview. But I'm talking, you know, I got Rick Bowness and John Stevens are a couple of the first phone calls I get, you know, and it just speaks to, like, I'm pulling for Rick Bowness. This is a wonderful man, you know, who's been in the game coaching and in the league as a player for over 40 years. And he's gone to the Cup Final now. This will be his third time. And hopefully the third time's a charm. And there's a lot of people there that I'm rooting for.
Just circle back to your time, to what you're going to be doing in St. Louis. An assistant coach, you can, you know, there are a million different tasks. But what is going to be your main job as the assistant in St. Louis?
You know, Chief's got to tell me those exact things. I just told him, listen, I'm going to help in any way, shape, or form that is going to help Chief, is going to help the rest of the staff and the Blues to perform at their highest level to regain the Cup. And we've spoken a little bit, but we're really going to dig into detail next week when he flies back into St. Louis and we meet as a staff and start to go over everything.
Are you ready? And you're not being hired from it, but I'm sure at some point, Monty, you're going to be approached by players that are having some of the same difficulties. You look at what McGrattan does in Calgary. I've got to think that skill set for everything you've gone through could help, well, whether it be anybody in the organization or anybody for that matter, to understand of where you were at to where you're at now.
Well, you know, it's a great point that you make, but my job is to coach, but if there comes an instance where a player wants to talk about any kind of mental health issues, I have a lot of, obviously the experience, but also having done the research, having gone to a rehab facility, understanding the science and how the brain works, you know, I can explain options that are out there to help them get better. But hopefully those situations don't arise, and we're just talking about power play, penalty kill, and how to protect pucks.
All that good stuff. Jim Montgomery is our guest. Help us break down the Stanley Cup Final. Your former team, the Dallas Stars, are going to face the Tampa Bay Lightning. You would have seen all of this play out over the past 6 weeks. It's been a long, speaking of long journeys, it's been a long time, 8 weeks or more in the bubble for these two teams. From what either you observe or maybe even texting back and forth with some people, what do you think they're feeling right now as they can sort of see light at the end of the tunnel with one more series to go?
Well, I think this is going to be the greatest series we've seen in the playoffs. I think you got two teams that have played extremely physical, two teams that have excellent goaltending. Dallas, in the last round, really played a committed checking game, and I think they beat Vegas because they pushed them outside the dot. They own the net front and one special team. Now, off the rush, Dallas didn't give Vegas much, and Vegas is very good off the rush. Tampa's top line is the best line off the rush. So is Tampa going to get those opportunities against Dallas? You know, and then you have the Vasilevsky. Hudobin's a wonderful goaltender, and I love the young man. He's ultra competitive, and the guys in front of him compete like you wouldn't believe because they see how hard he competes. But you have to give Vasilevsky the edge just because he's been a starter in the league for a longer period of time. There's a lot of intriguing matchups as well. You know, who's the two lines Dallas is going to use against the point line? Because, you know, Tampa's been using 11 forwards, so they're going to come over the board. You can't go with one line. It's going to be interesting to see that. But then Dallas's four lines can overwhelm you. And how does that affect Tampa playing in their own end a little bit more? So we'll see who ends up winning that battle. And the interesting matchups are going to be the physicality battles. Who does Tampa match up against Jamie Benn? You know, the decor of Tampa, especially, you know, they're playing the 7D. They have two really physical D-men, you know, in Bogey and Shen, that I think have given them a real edge back there. Now, but they're going to have to defend and also be physical a lot more, I think, against Dallas because of the way they grind and forecheck. It's extremely, to me, two of teams that are completely opposite in the way they play, which is going to lead to interesting games. I think we're going to have a couple high-scoring games. We're going to have a couple real low-scoring games. But I think defense wins championships. I think Dallas in seven.
I look at Vegas being ahead.
Written down in pen, by the
way. Nice. Okay. Vegas being a little heavier than Tampa. Does this set up real well for Klingberg and Heskinen, where you could see them being a major factor?
You know what? I was surprised that Vegas was not as productive in that area against Dallas. You know, and I think that third line in Tampa of Gaudreau and Gordy and Coleman, they're fast and physical. They might get on top of those guys a little bit more. That's why I expect it to be a long series. I think there's going to be incredible momentum swings, and for us hockey fans, I think we're going to be treated to a great final series.
Jim, you know, going back to your college days, I'm sure that rallying cries, and whether it be on T-shirts or whatever, just things that guys say to themselves, sometimes they take on a life of their own. And I don't know if you're on social media at all, but the Dallas Stars social media people, at the end of every playoff series so far, there's the player of the game, where the player of the previous game gives this big chain and with a big Stars decal on it to the next player of the game. And then that player says, "We're not going home." Can you just talk about the, you know, from a coach's point of view, of players, you know, kind of rallying around things like that, be they slogans or just the tiniest little things that teams can glom onto that they do rally around?
Well, I think it's extremely important. I think it's even more so in the bubble. you know, we're not going home is something that immediately when the players hear one person say it, it gives them life. It gives them a belonging to be doing something special. And it turns what can be a potential negative situation into a positive and an inspiring moment. So I think Dallas is on to something special there.
Yeah, no, I think that ends up being something cool. Do you look at this, Monty, where, hey, I think Tampa went a little further against the Islanders, turned into a real trench war, real imperative that Dallas take advantage of that come Saturday night?
I think it's really important that Dallas gets off to that jump like they did against Colorado in that first game. Against Vegas in the first game after that series against Colorado, but Vegas played the next night and finished, right? It is important that they get off to that jump. And it's going to be interesting to see on both sides how healthy they are. Point in particular, that's the big advantage that Tampa has, is when you look at special players, in my opinion, Tampa has four special players that are superstars in the league. And I think, you know, Dallas has a lot of excellent players. They have one superstar in my mind in Haskin.
All right, good stuff. We hope it'll be a great final. It's been a grind at times. It's a little tough to watch, but there is nothing better than watching that team finally achieve the ultimate prize in what many people are saying kind of the ultimate tournament that we've had going on. Listen, it was really great of you to come on over the past few weeks. Really, congratulations on the new job. Sounds like you're in a fantastic place. Simmer raves about you kind of off the air and is really proud of what you've been able to accomplish. And we're really glad that you've landed on your feet. And we'll chat with you again down the road, but really appreciate the time over the past few weeks.
Well, thanks a lot. And Simmer's a great man and a good friend. And I appreciate him being incredibly supportive through my journey.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.